So are you excited to receive the Word of God? Oh, that's excitement? Okay, we got a new name for excitement. But I am excited. I don't know. I am excited to give the Word of God. We are doing a series on dreams without borders. And today is the second series. And today we want to talk about a God-sized dream. Let the size of God determine the size of your dream. And we want to talk about that today. Do you have a dream? And is your dream a dream that you can do it without God's help, without anybody's help? And I want you to think about that. Just think about what kind of dream you have. And see whether that's a God-sized dream. And to help you do that, I want to read to you a scripture. It is from Ephesians 3:20. He is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. That is from Ephesians 3:20. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. This is a great verse. This is a great verse. And the Word of God is powerful and mighty. And I want this Word of God to speak to us this morning as we look at the stories in the Bible. And what God has laid out for us today. And the introduction that I want to give you, three introductions that I want to give you, is that the first introduction is God-sized dream leads to an inevitable encounter with God's ability. And the second one is God-sized dream provides an opportunity to engage others with God's story. And the third one is God-sized dream is to enlarge God's kingdom. And we want to look at this today. So what is the big idea of this sermon? What is the big idea of this sermon? The big idea of this sermon is that you are created with a God-sized dream. That you are created with a God-sized dream. That's the big idea of this sermon today. So the first point is that God's size dream leads to an inevitable encounter with God's ability. Okay. So when you read in Matthew 19, there is a story of a woman there who have had blood issue for how many years? 12 years. And what happens is she has spent all her money. She has spent all her money trying to take care of that issue. So for 12 years, she has this blood issue. And now, she wants, what would be her dream then? After trying to take care of this physical pain and endurance, enduring a long time, spending all the money, what would her dream be like? To be healed. But the physicians say, no, we can take care of you. There is no cure for you. There is no healing for you. This has gone on not just a day or two, a week, but it has gone on for a month. So one day she heard that Jesus was coming to town. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his cloth, then I will be well. If I could just stretch out my hand and touch the hem of his cloth, then I will be made well. See, God's size dream stretch your reality. For her, literally, it's stretching her hand to go into unknown to get healed. So what is a God-sized dream then? What is a God-sized dream? A God-sized dream is not so much about how big it is, how difficult it is, how gigantic and challenging it is. It's about having peace and contentment and wholeness within you and living the life that is fullest to you. That is achieving a God-sized dream. That you know that you are living the life that you should live is a God-sized dream. Okay? So are you living the life that you should live? Have you achieved the maximum output that you can be? Have you maximized your manhood? Have you maximized your womanhood? And even if you're not there, you're on the way to be there. I want to show you a map here, and I want to tell a story. The map is not so clear, maybe, but you can see that I was born in the northeast of India, and at 15 years old, I was 14, not yet 15, but I have decided that I am going to go to New Delhi and go to University of Delhi for my studies. Okay. Now, there is nobody in New Delhi that I know. We don't have family, relatives. And in our village, there are about 4,000, 5,000 people at that time. But I have this dream. My father passed away when I was 11, so it was going to be a very challenging dream for me because my mother was taking care of four kids, including me. But I didn't think about the financial risk, but I was just going to go there. And I wanted to become an IS officer and take care of my families and my brothers and sisters. That's my dream. I'm going to do it. So at 15, I'm set. I'm going to go. Right? So when I graduated, undergrad, I wanted to go for my undergrad, and my mom said, "No, you can't go. You can't go to Delhi. I don't have money, or you got to go to some." I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed, so angry with my mom. But God has other plan, because I had a great encounter with God in a Christian college in the Nagaland, Pat Kai Christian College. I had a great encounter with the Lord when I was about 19 years old. So God has his plan. Now, when I graduate, I was going to go to Delhi for my master, because I want to do master and write the civil service competitive exam and become an IS officer. So I was working, community working. We were building roads with pickles, spades, shovel. We were building roads to go to a city. The village has gone. We slept there for a week and we're digging. And I got the news from somebody that the result is out for undergrad. And you are ranked the third in the university. I said, "What? You know, I don't understand." But I didn't understand fully, but I came. And by God's grace, I found out that I was the third ranked in the university. It's like, wow, I'm going to go now to Delhi. I tell mom, I'm going to go. Now, in order to get to the nearest city to catch a bus where my wife was born, it's a day's trip because the roads were not good. And I don't have a vehicle. Right? So I have to look for somebody that has a vehicle to go to that city. So the next day, I heard somebody was going to go to the city. So I ran there and said, can you take me to the city? I had to catch a bus to go to, and then catch a train. And he said, "Yeah, come along with me." So I went there. It was a day's trip. I slept there early morning. I got up, bought a bus ticket to catch a train. It was another day's trip to go to Dimapur in Nagaland. I don't know anybody in New Delhi. I heard that there is a distant relative studying in New Delhi. I was just going to go and find him. right? So from 2 AM to Delhi, it's a 42 hours trip. I've never been there. For train, it's like 2 nights and 3 days. Okay. So I went to the train station. It was already evening and dark. But there was a relative from my village in the train station. So I spent the night there. And when I went to his house, there were 2 ladies that were going to go to New Delhi. Okay, 2 ladies. I said, okay, I'm going to go along. But I have no reservation. I have no ticket. Train tickets, you have to buy reservation. You have to reserve the seat. Then you can go into the compartment. I have no reservation. I just followed these 2 ladies. Early morning, I got up and followed them. Right? And I went in there and I bought just a ticket for general compartment. They call it current ticket in India. So I just bought the current ticket and they went into their compartment and I followed there in, right? So in the compartment, there are 6 seats and on this side too. So there are 8 seats in the compartment. And there was 1 seat that was empty. So I sat down there. It was dark, very early. So I'm so sleepy. And I'm so anxious now, somebody's going to come in and kick me out of the compartment. But I was tired, sleep took over, and I went to sleep. I got up, and I was there. Nobody had come to kick me out. I have to change train in another city. It was morning now, bright sun. I'm looking for it. We have to change train. I got down, I followed the 2 ladies, right? And they went to the train, I followed them in, into the same compartment. And there were 8 seats there too in the compartment. There was 1 empty seat. I sat in there. Now I'm very worried, you know. So I took the top tier. I just stayed there. I didn't even get down. Because, you know, if I get down, somebody may get it. But nobody came. Nobody came. The night before we left, we had a prayer meeting. And there were about 4 or 5 widows, including my mother. And they prayed for me, and they were crying and praying. And one of the old lady, she was a widow, she said after the prayer, I felt that when we were praying, God speaking to me, that God will make a way for you when there is no way. And I remember Isaiah 43:19, that God will make a road for you in the wilderness. Now, there will be water in the desert. I was remembering that in the train station. But since it's a 3 days journey, I have to go to the bathroom, you know. So I got down from the top tier and went to the bathroom and came back. And now this drain, the train conductor is coming checking tickets. Okay. So I came down and I put in my pocket to show the ticket that I bought in Dimapur, right? I don't know whether that's valid or not. And I checked, and there was no ticket in my pocket. So I'm saying, what am I going to do? Where did it go? I went to the bathroom, and there it was, lying in front of the bathroom. People have trampled on it. It's now ugly, dirty, and wet, you know. I picked it up. The conductor came, and I showed that to him. By God's grace, you know, he let me sit in that compartment. He said, you just pay me some money, I'll give you a new ticket. And I paid the money. Sat there. Now by the window, there is a young guy like me sitting there. And I didn't know him. He didn't know me, but it's a 3 days journey. So I made connection with him and made friends with him. And we started talking. He's not a Christian. He's going to Delhi. Good. And he knows one of the college that he has a friend there. And I feel... okay, good. We're going to the same place. He can't walk properly. He was, I don't know, maybe he had polio or something when he was a child. So you can see that he can't walk properly. Now, 3 days we go, we reached New Delhi. And it reached at night because the train was delayed for like 12 hours. Nobody was there to pick me up at the station. Okay? I followed this guy who is a stranger. He says he's going to a college. I know somebody in the college. So like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., I think, we hitched an auto rickshaw and go to one of the college in the university. We asked somebody about 2 a.m. Some of them were watching movies, and you know, and he said, "This is the room of a person that I know." I said, "Okay." The light was on inside. We knocked the door. Nobody opened. And he looked at me and said, "You know, in college, what they do is they lock the door from inside. Sometimes they bring their girlfriend in, you know. So you should stand on my shoulder and look from the window, okay?" I said, "Okay." So I stood on his shoulder. He raised me up, and I grabbed the place where there's the window glass, and there was a key. See, I grabbed hold of the key, and I came down. We opened the door, and I slept in that room that night. And he didn't come back, you know, because I don't know where to go. So the next morning, before he came back, I've gone out looking for my distant relative. And I found him somewhere in the city. And I said, "Can I stay with you? I've come looking for admission." Right? After a couple of days later, I met the guy, the room that we broke into, and said, "I slept in your room." So it's okay, it's okay. Everything worked out okay. You know, he had gone with his friend, have dinner, and stayed with his friends. It's a stretch to pursue your dream. You know, for me, I've never gone to New Delhi. I was pursuing my dream. I didn't know anybody there. But you encounter inevitable ability of God like that. I'm talking about when I was younger here. Because many of you are young. You are going to go to college. Some of you are looking for a job. Some of you are looking to settle down. Some of you are trying to look for families to see where you want to go to the next level. But you have to stretch your dream to encounter God's ability that He can do these things for you. If only I can stretch out my hand and touch the hem. For me, that's a God-sized dream. That definitely is a God-sized dream for me. From that story, what's your God-sized dream? Are you stretching out? Are your reality being stretched out by God's promise? Because I tell you, your highest aspiration is not beyond God's power. Your highest aspiration is not beyond God's power. What did we read in Ephesians? He can do exceedingly abundantly beyond what you can ask or think. God's size dream is a dream that brings you wholeness, contentment, and peace. God's size dream will stretch your reality. This is stretching the reality, for she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." Matthew 9:21. Let me move to the next point. God's size stream provides an opportunity to engage with other with God's stories, okay? To others with God's story. Because your inspiring success story is an attribute of God's greatness. Your inspiring success story is an attribute of God's greatness. Not only that, your God thing can be a contagious invitation to God's story. Okay, your God thing can be a contagious invitation to God's story. The next one I want to share is that your God-sized dream, it is an outreach to a God-sized story. Okay, so let's share this with the Word of God. How does this happen? Now, there was a ruler in this story in Matthew 9. When they heard that Jesus was coming, one of the rulers came running to Jesus and said, "Please come, my daughter died." Okay. Do you think that the Raising the dead would be a God-sized dream. It would be a God-sized thing. It would be a God thing. But the ruler had come. The ruler had come to Jesus and said, "Come, please help me." And Jesus said, "No, no, no, she's not dead. She's just sleeping." And people laughed at Jesus. People laughed. "No, she died." When you have a God-sized dream, I mentioned to you last Sunday, people are going to laugh at your dream. Just like James Irwin, the one who sat at the window and looked at the moon and said, "I'm going to go to the moon," and he told his neighbors, and the neighbor laughed at him. What happened to him? He was the eighth man to land on the moon. People laugh at Joseph. His brothers laugh at Joseph. But he became the second in command under Pharaoh in Egypt. God-sized dream. When you have God-sized dream, people are going to laugh at you. When Jesus says, "No, she's not sleeping. I'm going to raise you up." He went in, took by her hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all the land. When there is a God-sized thing happen, it is an invitation for you to share to other people what God has done for you in your life. It opens a door for you to invite other people to share to the great God story. So let's go back to our friend, right? The friend that I barge into his room. Okay, so I started going to church because I had a great encounter with God. So when I was 19, so even in Delhi, I started this fellowship, university fellowship. The university fellowship, and I was one of the leaders. I used to see him time to time. I mean, he was a great soccer player, so they used to party a lot, and soccer players were very popular in that part of area. Could be not so much here, now it is, but it could be like a football star, you know. So he plays soccer a lot and they party a lot. When they win the game, they will drink and dance through the night, early in the morning. That's what he did. But one day, he came to our prayer fellowship, this guy, in our fellowship, in our university evangelical fellowship. And as we worship, like we worship this morning, we worship and we were singing and praying and singing and praying. And suddenly everything quieted down. The Spirit of the Lord came and He was moving. And people were kneeling down quietly. Some were sobbing quietly and praying. Okay, these are like young 20s we're talking about. And just praying, everyone was just kneeling on the chair and praying different place. Then I heard a voice loudly in my heart, I don't know. And the voice said, "Tell that guy," God was, "tell that guy that I love him," right? I said, "No, God, I'm not going to do that kind of stuff, okay? This is weird, no, you know, I'm not going to do that." And so just I say, you know, just get out of it, you know. But the voice kept coming. So I said, "Tell him that you love him. I love him." I said, "No, Amy, not this time, okay? This is not the right time." The voice got louder. So I got to say, and he's praying. I was closing my eyes. I opened my eyes and just one eye open, look at him to see how he's doing. But he had his head bowed. So I took the courage to say, I said his name first, and I said, "God loves you." Very quiet, right? Very quiet so he may not hear it. Because I'm just trying to obey God's voice. Right? So I just say, "God loves you." Okay? So I said, "God, I did it." All right? No. You know what happened the next thing? He was lying on the floor. Just like that. He lied down on the floor and he started bawling and crying. He just bawled and cried like a baby. And he's crying, and then we went and he sat up, knelt on the carpet, said, "I want God to forgive me. You know? I want to be his follower." And he gave his life to Christ on that day. See, but my little God-sized dream of coming to New Delhi had allowed me to invite somebody to come to the kingdom of God. Now, for me, Everyone is different, but for me, as a person, for me, there is no greater joy than to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is for me. So every time I lead someone to the Lord, that is a God-sized dream for me. Okay? For you, it could be making a company, starting a new business, making a lot of money. That could be your God-sized dream. But for me, soul saving is my God-sized dream. On that day, one of my God-sized dreams is just fulfilled right in front of me. So he became a believer. Oh, I was so excited, I'm telling you. I have so much joy. This is what they did. The people who saw the girl rose from the dead, what did they do? It was an invitation to share God's story to others. They went and told everybody all throughout. When God-sized dreams happens in our midst, even in this family, in this church, that is an invitation to others to come and to attract, to be attracted to what God is doing. God-sized dream is contagious, my friends. It is contagious. That brings me to the third point. God-sized dream is to enlarge God's kingdom. Your passion for greater thing is to be motivated by the desire to glorify God. Your God-sized dream impacts a God-sized influence where you are. And here, your God-sized dream aligned with his will declare the kingdom of God is here. Let me tell you a story of two blind men here. So when Jesus was there, when all these things were happening, the woman with the blood issue is healed, the girl is raised from the dead, and now two blind men came. And when they heard that Jesus was there, they came to say, Jesus, son of David, please heal us. And he talked to the two blind men and said, do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I can do this? He's talking to the two blind men. Do you believe I can do this? And the two blind men say, yeah, we believe in a God-sized dream. You can do this. And then Jesus said to the two blind men, because of your God-sized faith, let it be so. And they were healed right there. Their eyes opened, right? And he said, don't tell anybody. What did they do? They went and told everybody. He's enlarging the kingdom of God. They've been touched. Right after that, they met a man demon-possessed. And he healed that guy. And the people that were there said, we have never seen anything like this in Israel. We have never seen anything like this in Israel. A God-sized dream enlarged the kingdom of God. It's not just about you. It's not just about you progressing in your life, climbing the ladder of success for your own gain. A God-sized dream blesses everybody. When you live in a God-sized dream, your God-sized dream impacts other people. It influences other people for better things in their lives. It brings wholeness, peace, contentment. You allow other people to live in their fullness. The capacity to understand that God has called them for greater things. This is what happens when you live in a God-sized dream. It's not about the size. It's not about the height, the depth, and the width. It's about living in a life that is full, that God has called you to do. Are you full this morning? Are you living a full life? Have you stretched out for that God-sized dream that God has prepared for you? You are created to live a God-sized dream. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. He has a dream for you and I. So let's go back to my friend, okay? That friend, because we're talking about the Bible. Oh, Pastor, it happened 2,000 years ago. I want to talk about what happened today, how it is relevant to me. So I did my master's, and God called me to serve him. He said, you know, your dream is too small. You're just following a dream for your own gain. I want you to follow a dream that will glorify me. So he called me into ministry. I had to let go of my dream of becoming an ICE officer. Okay? So during that time, I have met my wife, Margaret, who is here this morning. Hallelujah, good to see you. So wonderful. So one of the things that God laid in my heart was that I need to go to a seminary to get trained, and I wanted to come to America because I want to get a good education. So I say, God, we're going to go to America. Okay. And the seminary said, you deposit $24,000 if you want to come here. Okay? I said, okay. Easy. I wrote to the financial director, if I sell all my land or a portion of land that I own there in the village, that would not come up to $24,000. But I say, but you will know that God has prepared these things for you, so when the time comes, please let me know. Okay. And I waited like 6 months or so, I don't know. It never came. I was so anxious. I was so worried. But I had faith that I will hear. But what? In December of 2000, I got an email from the financial director. You can come and study here. I didn't ask anything anymore, right? So now, and the class starts January 19 or January 11. I have to buy a ticket. I have to get a visa and go and join that class, which I was late for a week. So where am I going to get the ticket money? I don't have the ticket money to go there. Well, I'm praying, talking to people, and some people bought the ticket for me. And I have to go to the visa. And the lady was very hard on me. She said, why should I let you come to America? You know, and I looked at her and I said, it is God's will for me to be there. And she looked at me and said, what's the difference between a Catholic and a Baptist? You know? So I was like, what is this going on? So I said, one thing that I said was, we pray to God. The Catholic may pray to God and Mary and other saints. You know, those are basic religious differences. They may do a sprinkling baptism. We do a water baptism. And at that time, somebody came by and whispered something in her ear. And she looked at him, she looked at me, and she just stamped it. No more question, right? I didn't know anybody in Chicago. No friends, nobody. Right? So when I came in, I was one day late. So I had spent my time in Frankfurt, free hotel, free night, one day in Germany. But I came, landed in Chicago, there was nobody to pick me up, and it was Sunday. I called the seminary, seminary's closed. I said, how can seminary be closed on Sunday? You know, I'm thinking to myself. Nobody came. I catch a cab. They drop me in the middle of the seminary. I have told this to some of you. You know where I found the room? The guy in Delhi that I barged into. That's the guy's room that I came and stayed in Chicago, Illinois. He was there. He opened the door, and we lived together for 3 years.
No, 1 year.
1 year? Oh, 1 year. I mean, in the same building. After that, my wife came and we separated, and yeah. I mean, 3 years in the seminary, yes. Thank you. But you see how God works things out? And then he graduated, and he didn't know where to go, so he went to Hong Kong. He was married to... He stayed there in Hong Kong, and he wrote an email to me, I just don't know what am I going to do. And I said, why don't you go and be the leader of the ministry that I was taking care of? So he went back there, became a pastor, started church planting in India. All these little things that we do together, if we do it with God, it influences and it has impact in people's life. So that's my God-sized dream about when I was younger. You know, there are other God-sized dreams that I can share, and I'll share as we progress. But I want to encourage you, if you're in a college, if you're looking for a job, if you're doing a startup business, and you feel like you're going to look for another job, have new dreams, your aspiration is not bigger than God's power. Okay? Your aspiration is not beyond God's power. And I wanted to share this with you this morning. Dreams without borders. To come from a village that is called like a known part, from 4,000, 5,000 people, to stand here in America and declare God's glory is a miracle in itself. Only God can do those things. So I don't know about you, but for me, my God-sized dream daily is to bring somebody to the Lord. And when I lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the greatest joy for me. And I live for that every day. I may not get to see it every day, but I live for it every day. I'm willing to work for it every day. I'm willing to pray for it every day. I'm willing to give my all for it every day to enlarge the kingdom of God. The same thing God has called you and laid a passion in your heart. Give it your all, whether it's to be a teacher, to be a nurse, to be a doctor, to work in a tech company, policeman, firefighter, army, you name it. If God has called you to do that, give it your all and stretch out for a God-sized dream. Stretch out for a God-sized dream. Let God stretch your reality and see what He can do for you. So today, let it be the beginning of a great journey. I just took you to a train ride of my dream, but God has a bigger plan. And here we are to share about God's ability. I'm going to worship team, I'm going to call the worship team to come up. And as we go into worship, God visits us in different way, in different times. His ways are different. His thoughts are different. But can you just pray this morning that He will reach out to you? He will see the power go out through Him as you reach out to Him. Jesus said, I feel my power has gone out of me. Somebody touched me. And Jesus looked at the disciples, looked at Jesus and said, there are multitudes of people and you're talking. Who touched you? But Jesus said, but I know somebody touched me. My power has gone out of me. And the lady came trembling and she said, Master, please forgive me, I'm the one. He said, no, your faith has made you well. You go in peace. Let's feel the power of God run through us as we stand and worship Him. Christ is my reward, all of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that could satisfy. Let Jesus fill you up. Let Jesus fill you up.